You're listening to Dynamo's Dozen. Now let's welcome your host, Dean Dynamo Kelly.
This week, I have the pleasure to sit down and talk with a pro wrestler that I've wanted to interview for a very, very long time. And he is still a big deal in the National Wrestling Alliance today. He is Mama Storm's baby boy, and he is none other than the former NWA World's Heavyweight Champion, Mr. Tim Storm. Welcome to the show, Tim.
Thank you very much, Ian, man. And you always strike a chord when you say Mama Storm's baby boy. That's the truth, and that's my heart right there.
Dude, I love it. I mean, let's actually just speak on that. Like, I mean, for you, we've obviously had this kind of in the works for a little while now. Delighted that it finally come to fruition. But the whole Mama Storm's baby boy thing is great. Like, I mean, there's t-shirts there. It's such a play on real life, the way wrestling is supposed to be. It's just, was that just something that happened organically and you just came out with it?
Everything I do happens organically.
Sure.
And I mean that. It's like
you lift weights and you're just a monster.
Yeah, what you see with me is what you get. I read a long time ago in a Dusty Rhodes book that his recommendation was you don't practice promos. You know, you don't go over and over and over them, because if you do that, you kind of lose, like you said, it's organic. You lose the emotion because it becomes rehearsed.
Sure.
And so I have ideas when I go out there, but to be honest, that line, first off, it's absolutely true. There were four of us and I'm the absolute baby. I was a really, really late, for my mom. I have a sister who is 77. She's the oldest.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. And then I'm the youngest. And then there were two brothers that we've lost since then, but I'm literally the baby boy, and I'm 100% a mama's boy. Always have been. Love my mom. And you know, it was almost like growing up as an only child, because my brother and sister were so much older than I am. And then when I said that in the promo, I mean, I had thought about it, but really, if you ever go watch it and you go back and watch that line, I didn't hesitate. I was just moving on. And then the response from the crowd, I had no idea.
You know?
And I think in wrestling, that's kind of the fun of it, right? Some of the greatest lines in history have come just on an off the cuff statement that somehow the fans liked.
Austin 316. Austin 316, you know?
Yeah. The story on that, I'm sure you know, it's somebody said, here's what Jake said about you. And Austin had gone to the hospital and had to come back and walked up and basically just cut the promo and said that line out of nowhere. And it became it became the hottest thing in professional wrestling.
Yeah.
It's stuff just happens. And I'm glad that it connected, but it sure wasn't, you know, I didn't write out a speech and say, this is really going to connect. I had no idea.
And this is what's awesome, because believe it or not, here in Ireland, I know in the circle that I'm kind of involved in, NWA Power is a lot of people's favorite product at the moment today, purely, especially in kind of my demographic from, say, like the late 20s to early 40s demographic, because it's a throwback, but it's also a mix of everything. But before we get into Power and kind of, you know, speak on that, just to kind of maybe give people a little insight into Tim Storm, the wrestler, and Tim Storm, the man, maybe we'll take them back a little bit and kind of educate them on how you got into wrestling. You were kind of a late starter as well.
Very, very late.
Yeah, I mean, but like a lot of the greats, I mean, DDP, Ric Flair, Steve Austin, we just mentioned. Steve Austin, I believe, was 25 when he got into pro wrestling, or there or thereabouts. So you you obviously had a, you must have had a background in some sort of football, right?
I played a couple of years of college football.
Sure.
And play is a relative term. I actually walked on at a small college, earned a scholarship, and then unfortunately blew my knee out on my second play of my college career. And I continue to play and play through it. But so I played football. That was a big part of my life. I've loved sports of every kind. I loved basketball and racquetball, you name it. And I tried it, volleyball, swimming. I tried a little bit of everything.
So you were an athlete. You were an athlete in school. You just...
I think so. And my nature is I'm a hard worker. And when I go after something, I work really hard, whatever it is.
Gotcha.
And I just do it relentlessly.
Gotcha.
I didn't start wrestling until I was 31. And it was something I'd always wanted to do or try. And it just, you know, for some reason, I just thought, okay, it's time to try that.
Well, that's a good little segue. That's a good segue. So like you're a 31-year-old Tim Storm, but obviously, right, Tim Storm, the kid, had grown up watching, you know,
absolutely,
maybe Gorgeous George, you know, Buddy Rogers, these guys.
I grew up in kind of central Arkansas, and just because of where I was located, on Saturdays I got Memphis Wrestling in the morning.
Nice,
which
nice.
Was Jerry Lawler,
yeah.
Jerry Lawler and Boogeyman Jimmy Valiant. I mean, it was
Jimmy Valiant. Yeah, yeah.
In the afternoons, I got NWA. I got Georgia Championship Wrestling. So I got the, you know, Flair and the Four Horsemen and the you know, all of those superstars that were just, you know, Legion of Doom before they were Legion of Doom, Road Warriors. I got all of those guys. And then at night, usually around 10:30 or 11, I got World Class out of Dallas, which was the Von Erichs.
Texas, yeah.
So I got three wrestlings a day, and you know, on Saturday, and I kind of built my Saturdays around that. So I got all three. But to me, the best of wrestling was the NWA, and it was in, you know, it was just something that, you know, like, even as all this has developed, my mom has heard this stuff, and she's like, "I didn't even know you liked wrestling back then." But it was just something I loved. I went to the local, well, they weren't local shows. I went to the Heimlich Convention Center and watched, you know, all of those NWA stars about once or twice a year when they'd come through our town, and it just never went away.
So the passion was there, obviously, from a young age. So I guess it was something that kind of just sparked when you were in your 30s.
Yeah. And I honestly don't know what sparked it. You know, like, because it wasn't that I started watching wrestling more or less. I just thought I was doing, well, and a lot of people kind of snicker at this, but I played a lot of softball and was on like a traveling team. And we kind of like wrestling every weekend. We went somewhere, sometimes flew, and played at a very high level. And one day I just went, I think I want to try this. And a friend of mine said, he said, I saw this commercial on a local TV station. He said, I'm not going to lie, the quality of the production wasn't very good, but they said they've got a wrestling school.
Sure.
And I had contacted WCW and talked to them about the, you know, the
power plant
there. Yeah. But at the time I was, you know, I mean, wife, two kids, house payment, car payments. I was the vice president of a company. You know, it wasn't something I was willing to walk away from life to walk away from responsibilities to pursue.
I got you.
I wanted to, yeah. So I started training at about 2-hour drive, and I made that every weekend for a long time. And, you know, started learning. It's as old school as you could possibly get. I mean, the training was physical. You couldn't even climb onto the top rope because your head would hit the ceiling.
You got that old school training where, like, you weren't allowed to set foot in the ring for at least a certain amount of time until you paid your I got you.
And it was, I mean, the way that this guy was, he was a, I guess in his day it would have been a Now it's cruiserweight, but it would, you know, he was a smaller, shorter guy, but he had made a lot of money and done a lot of things. But it was literally, he would show you, here's how you apply the hold in a shoot. And that's what you'd learn first.
Yeah.
And then he would say, here's how you protect somebody. And half of our training was legitimately, you know, rolling around the mat and going for submissions and pins. I mean, it was legitimate grappling.
Yeah, it's almost UK based, because that was very UK style. You know, you hear of the Dynamo Kids and the Rollerball Roccos and all these guys. It was very, you got to learn how to protect yourself before you learn how to learn the art. And I guess, you know, the thing about it is, a lot of people, I guess, think that that's just old school. But that's still like a training method today, and still is. And I'm sure you would agree, the best way of training people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, and I know the, you know, wrestling has changed.
Sure.
And it's going to continue. It's going to continue to. But you know, back in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and that's before me. I mean, that's before I was in the ring. But
definitely me.
You had to be able to protect yourself.
Yeah.
Because you would have guys who would test you, especially early on, and if you couldn't handle yourself, you wouldn't get a job.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't it I heard an old story about like Bill Watts. Apparently Bill Watts used to say that if you got into a bar fight and you lost the fight, he would fire you on the spot.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I was a big Cowboy Bill Watts fan growing up.
Me too. Well, not growing up, but I am a big fan. Yeah. Yeah, I get you.
But yeah, his whole thing was, If we want people to respect us and know that we are legitimate athletes, that's a great example. Bill Watts is, you look at the people he brought into the business, most of them were legitimate tough guy athletes, like Steve, you know, Dr. Death, Steve Williams, and those guys that they had an athletic background, they were tough guys, and a lot of them, a lot of collegiate wrestling, you know, national champions, that kind of thing. He brought in legitimate fighters.
Yeah,
and you got in there, and that's how you made your name.
Yeah, and if it wasn't for you, then onto the next territory, I guess, or onto the next thing. Yeah,
yeah. And I know that Bill Watts was even considered an incredibly tough guy when he was in his 50s and 60s. He wasn't wrestling much, but he would do an appearance, and you know, people would talk about how even at that age, he wasn't giving anybody anything. If you didn't take it, you didn't get it.
Well, he was a big motherfucker. Let's be fair.
Yes, he was. And I had the pleasure of meeting him a couple of times, and he's still an imposing guy, even now.
Some people have that kind of aura. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like you're a big hoss, but you come across as like a really nice guy. Like, you know what I mean? I mean, not to be crossed.
No. I think I am a nice guy.
Yeah.
But I also believe that I'm going to use this in a promo. I don't want to give away a line. But I saw this the other day. I thought, I got to remember that one. And it said that beware of the people who tell you how bad they are and how tough they are. Because a lion doesn't have to tell anybody he's a lion. You just know that he's a lion. So, you know, I'm of the belief that if you're legitimately bad, you don't have to tell anybody, and you don't have to act it. You just have the confidence that if you get in that situation, you know, you can take care of it.
Perfect. Right. Perfect. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's 100% true.
Yeah.
So so your early beginnings, you, one of my favorite, cause I actually watched this because, I was a big fan of the 10 pounds of gold series. And, but I was also still watching the championship wrestling from Hollywood stuff that Dave Marquez,
okay.
Shout out to Dave Marquez. Okay. He's been on the show too.
Great guy. And he's been super good to me.
Such a nice guy.
I don't want to cut you off, because this may be where you're going. By any chance, did you see the first on the 10 pounds of gold, the first appearance at championship wrestling from Hollywood
from you?
Yes.
Of course. Yeah.
Dave brought up in the introduction that we had met each other 20 years before. And And I was like, we did? Oh, we did. So literally the first year that I was in the business, I went up and started and worked for Harley Race at a promotion that he had started up there, was doing local TV, and Dave Marquez was a part of that.
Oh, so that was a shoe. That was a shoe.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And when he said it, he had not, you know, we knew what we knew. We were doing an in-ring promo and whatever, but he hadn't brought that up at all. And as soon as he said it, it clicked, and I was like, yes, we did. Oh, that was absolutely true. But when he said it, I wasn't prepared to do it. I was like, you know, the little light bulb went off in my head. Oh, okay, you're right.
Sure. No, that's awesome. Yeah, and I mean, so you obviously had time with Harley Race as well, because we had you know, for my show, especially this little show in Ireland, I got friendly with Leland, obviously Harley's son, and dude, Harley Race came on, you know, a good year before he passed, unfortunately, but he came on and done a show with me and done the best he could, and I mean, dude, he was still on it, like, you know. But well, one of the best things that Harley did for me personally was I was able to call the day that Dynamite Kid died, and Harley was able to come on and do a tribute even while he was sick. So I will definitely, just as a personal thing, Harley Race, rest in peace, one of the best men ever.
And one of my earliest influences, his work style was, I want to say it was very realistic, because it was. He was legitimately one of the toughest men in wrestling for a long, long time.
Sure.
But yeah, he was an early influence, great guy. The deal up there didn't work out great for me, and it had every potential, and I kind of unintentionally messed that one up. But that's completely on me. The guy that I trained was helping provide talent. The guy that trained me. And, you know, I got a message one day saying, when are we leaving for that show? And he said, oh, we're not doing that anymore. And I didn't ask any questions, because this is the guy that trained me. And he and Harley, I didn't know this. He and Harley had a falling out on something. And I basically no-showed Harley Race, and you don't get many second chances on that. Had no idea until afterwards, and I tried to make it right, but that's, you know, that's a no-no in the business, especially with a legend like Harley Race. So, but it was, I got opportunities up there that were unreal for the seventh or eighth match, you know, going in, getting to do TV, getting to learn. I got to work, Hacksaw Butch Reed.
Oh, really?
Dan Severin. At the time he was King Mabel, he becomes Big Daddy V.
Sure.
You know, I got some really, really good opportunities up there, and looking back, it makes an impact on what your learning curve is.
Yeah, and definitely, because I can see that in your work, and I could see that in your work even when I go back and look at earlier matches, because you were always about what are you, 6'1", 6'2"?
I am probably 6'2" now. I used to be taller.
Yeah, yeah. Makes sense.
As you get older, your spine, you know, especially with all the bumps.
Sure,
I always wanted to be 6'4". I never made it. You know, so I used to claim 6'3". I'm probably 6'2" now. Maybe, I think today I was at 250. 245 is a good weight for me.
But. Well, hey, dude, imagine being a 5'9 guy trying to claim 5'11", yeah? You got the 2-inch heels, yeah. Is it? We're the smaller workers here.
I know my first boots that I bought, I was probably 6'4 when I put them on.
You know, there you go.
I had the lifts in them and all that stuff, and I wanted to be a – but I also at that time probably weighed 300 pounds too. So it was not – it wasn't muscle. I was a big boy.
But the point I'm making is you're a big guy, and like when you look at your work, it really is – excuse me – it really is a throwback to some of the old school matches, but the way you work is so smooth in the ring, even for a big guy. I mean, like it really is a throwback to the Harley Races, to the bigger guys that were wrestling the likes of the Magnum TAs, you know.
I take that as a huge compliment, because that's what I want. As my body continues to break down, I watch matches and I'm hypercritical of myself. You know, I'm my own worst critic.
Sure.
And I'm Sometimes I don't like the way I move at all, but, and I completely, I give, I don't know if this is who should get the credit, but Johnny Valentine gets credit for a statement on a meme all the time that I love. And it says, "You may not believe wrestling is real, but you're going to know that I am." And that is the style. That's Harley Race. That's, you know, Bruiser Brody. That's those big guys who were super physical.
Exactly.
And I know my limitations better than anybody. I am not a technical wizard, but I know that if I get in there and I can turn it into a fight, you know, a physical battle, that I have a chance in that match. So, that's just kind of my mentality. I'm going to go in there and turn it into a, you know, as legitimate a fight as I can. And in any situation, I tell people I'm going to work physical. I want you to do the same way.
You got a very Stan Hansen style. That's probably the one that I was looking at, because I'm a big kind of mark for Stan Hansen. I watch all of his Japanese stuff. So I guess I'm on the mark there, actually. Yeah, this is cool.
The thing that always pops up with, and here's the cool thing, is, you know, Stan's from Texas, and I have gotten to spend some time with him. I mean, not at length, but I've gotten input on matches and those kind of things. And that's a huge honor, because like you said, Stan Hansen was as physical as you could be. You know, part of the running, I guess, probably not even a joke, part of the fact is his vision was really bad. So, you know, a lot of people said he was half blind. So when he threw that clothesline and hit you in the face, a lot of the time he was just throwing the clothesline because he didn't know where you were going to be.
It's a good excuse as well.
maybe I need to pick that up, right?
He's working somebody.
I need to start claiming that too. My vision, you know, it's not what it used to be.
So. Yeah, you're. I'm looking in your left eye now. It's looking a little bit lazy, maybe.
It's feeling a little bit that way. Yeah.
There you go.
But that's a huge compliment. I'm a big Stan Hansen fan.
No, I got to say, look, I call what I see. It's like, you know, last week we had Thunder Rosa on the show.
Right.
And I, you know, she was super happy with the compliment that I gave her, because she reminds me a lot of a female Eddie Guerrero in a lot of ways, just in her movements and her facial expressions, you know? And that was, sometimes when you've been out of the business, like I haven't worked in a long time, but sometimes when you know the mechanics of it and you kind of, actually take a step away and you start watching again, you see little things, you know, and you can see where people's influence is from. I was hoping that I wasn't wrong on that one, but I definitely Stan Hansen jumps out to me. But you're such a good baby face, though. Because it's real.
It is real.
Yeah.
For a long time, I fought the baby face thing. I really thought of myself as a heel, and, you know, would tell people I'm a much better heel. I can't argue anymore, right? I mean, it just. There's been so many really nice things said about, you know, this current NWA, the power stuff and the 10 pounds of gold. And so I can't argue anymore and say I was a better heel than a face, but I sure thought so for a long time.
Well, let's have a little bit of fun just to break up this, and then we'll come back to it. Just to have a little bit of fun.
Okay.
I'm going to do a little quick fire round. An old school thing that, you know, used to happen in magazines. It'd be like, give me the first, you know, you can say a couple of words on each individual, but I'm going to mention a couple of guys that are in the NWA now, and share your thoughts. The first one is Eli Drake.
Charismatic, athletic, hard worker.
Yeah. James Storm.
Unique. I mean, everything he does is done in James Storm style.
Can he drink a lot of beer?
He definitely can hold his own.
Okay, cool. Being an Irishman, I had to ask the question.
yeah, it's legit.
Former a guy that's been on the show in the past, Ricky Morton.
Legend. Maybe the best at selling in the history of wrestling, possibly.
I 100% agree with you on that last statement. Yeah, 100%. Scott Steiner.
Man, badass. He just is. I mean, he just is. And I'm also going to say, on my limited experience, and we tagged years ago a couple times, and I think he gets a bad rep. He's very professional, and does business, and is easy to work with.
Okay. Name we mentioned earlier, Thunder Rosa.
Love her. Unbelievable. Way more than a couple of words. But I've been able to see her progression over the last 4 or 5 years, and it's amazing. I mean, I love what she's become and what she's developed into.
It's only the beginning for her, right?
Yep. I remember doing when I was NWA champion, doing a show in New York, and they brought her in to work Jazz. Before Jazz was the NWA Women's Champion.
Sure.
And I remember Thunder Rosa coming out of that match going, I've never been a part of anything like that. Well, here's the deal now. I also saw her work Jazz 6 months ago, and they went toe-to-toe, and not only did she, I mean, she more than held her own. She's developed into a fantastic worker.
She's awesome. Ricky Starks.
Unlimited potential.
Great match watching you guys. Just want to say that I just want to implore people again that have not watched NWA Hard Times pay-per-view. It is still available on Fight TV. Go and check it out. Some of the matches are amazing. It's amazing that we have these six minutes and 5 second time limits. A real throwback to wrestling. We have rules in wrestling again.
And the referees are respected in the NWA.
Yep.
I mean, they are respected officials, and we are required to treat them that way.
And if you want to see a really good, like, 5 minute match, guys, go back and watch Ricky Starks and Tim Storm. And watch a handshake at the end, you know?
Thank you very much. He is a pure athlete. He's unlimited potential.
You know, it's funny. I didn't get him at the start. And I'll say that in a respectful way. I didn't get him at the start. It wasn't my kind of deal, you know. You understand. Right. You have the people you like. You have the people that you don't. But the more I watch that kid's progression, I'm just like, now I'm getting you. Now I'm getting you, you know. So I agree.
Well, and he's another one that I've probably known him for 7 or 8 years.
Yeah. Nola boy, yeah.
And I remember working him, and he did fantastic, but I didn't know that he had not had that many matches however long ago. And again, his progression's unbelievable. He's already good. He's going to get better and better.
And a great, great self-promoter too.
Absolutely.
That's the main thing. He gets the modern way. You know what I mean? You gotta be a good self-promoter in pro wrestling now.
I watched last night after the NWA Power episode, I watched an interview that Nick Aldis did.
Oh, I did too, actually, with Chris Van Vliet. Yeah,
that's actually what he said, is he saw that self-promotion, and he went, that guy's got something, we need that guy.
Dude, you watched the same thing as me, because I watched the NWA Power episode, and that was the next video that just came on.
Yes, yeah.
We're going to get on to that scumbag Nick Aldis later. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Okay. I'm ready. I'm always ready for that.
Yeah. You know, we gotta keep it real here on this show. What about, okay, a few more. Aaron Stevens. I love that guy.
I do too.
Jesus Christ. That's a perfect blend of comedy.
And it's okay, for people who don't know, well, and I'm sure it's not this way everywhere, but most of the time people are creatures of habit. And here's what I mean. On the very first TV taping, I just walked in and sat down. Well, now we've done, 6 or 8 days and 2 pay-per-views. Well, I sit in the same spot every time, which the first time I ever met Aaron Stevens, he just chose 2 seats away, and I've gotten to know him. He is so gifted in both sides. I mean, like you said, the comedy is natural for him.
Beautiful.
But the guy can flat out wrestle. He's a big guy. He's probably, 6'4", 6'5".
Easy, yeah.
He blends those two very well together. And having not known him personally before, genuinely a good person.
Yeah. We gotta say it. For all the fans out there that are listening, the question mark.
An enigma. How's that for one word?
That's all we need. That's all we need.
I'm still not sure how that goes, how that's worked out the way it has, but man, the fans love him, and that's one of the love, you know, that's one of the great things about wrestling.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And then we're gonna get on to two people before we get back to yourself. We're gonna go old school. Ric Flair.
This is hard to say. How about this? One of the top two or three wrestlers of all time, period.
That's a good one. I like your segues here, because you've opened me up here.
Okay.
So, who would be your top two, top three, for you?
Okay, here's where I may answer differently than a lot of people.
Sure.
I don't think you can legitimately list a top two or three without categorizing it.
Okay.
Okay.
I like that.
Here's what if I say who's the best big man of all time, well, okay. There's only one true monster giant, right? Andre has got to be. Yep. But if you go with, you got to say Undertaker has got to be one of the best big men of all time.
Probably the best, yeah.
Yeah. What about, where do you put Hogan in there? See, I wouldn't call Hogan a big man. I would say he's one of the best entertainers of all time. Right. So if you go.
I got you.
Where do you put Shawn Michaels in all that? You know, I'm just saying, when you start saying best of all time, to me, it's like you have to go, okay, in what category? Are we saying overall?
I know where I put Shawn Michaels in the best of all time. Wherever he's listed, it's behind Bret Hart. That's okay, what I say.
Okay. Well, and I've learned this from Nick Aldis, especially if you grew up in European, you know, area.
Yep.
Bret Hart was the man.
Yep.
I mean, he told me a story that growing up, you know, if Bret Hart was the top guy for him, whether Bret Hart had a championship or not.
Oh, for sure. That was here in Ireland and the UK, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, if you go to shows, he said, without a doubt, he was the biggest draw in Europe.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
Well, and I think, I mean, Bret Hart, one of the best pure wrestlers in history.
Different match every night.
Say what?
A different match every night. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
Working different people. Yep.
Well, and that's where you would say, okay, let's look at Flair. Flair was a great wrestler, but he was more, in my mind, he maybe one of the best promo men, but he was also more of an entertainer. I don't think you can hold that against him, because realize at the time that, yes, maybe he was doing a lot of the same spots, but he was also working 60-minute matches every night, but nobody saw the one from the night before.
That's true.
Well, Bret Hart, especially with the WWE run, every match you saw was televised, and you know, he couldn't run the same match, but he was so good, he could have a different match with a different guy every night.
Yeah.
He was just that good.
Yeah. I agree. And then I saved the best for last for you personally. It was Harley Race.
How about this? One of the top two toughest men in the history of professional wrestling.
And you know what? I believe that he would love to hear that.
Well, I mentioned this before we came. Harley Race was an early influence for me.
Yeah.
You know, even like I wrestled full time for a couple of years and here in the Dallas area, and one of the gifts that I got from the guys that I was working with and training was a Harley Race VHS best of.
Oh, awesome.
Because they knew how much that meant to me.
Awesome. That's awesome.
I mean, and anybody who, you know, I love wrestling history, but, you know, when Flair was champion and went to Japan, they sent Harley Race with him. Not because he needed the match input, but they knew that some of the Japanese legends would take advantage of Race, and NWA wasn't guaranteed he was going to come back with the title. But if you send Harley Race over there in his corner,
it's a different story.
Yeah, because nobody takes advantage of Harley Race, right? So Yeah, legitimate tough guy legend.
And he'd probably pull his gun on you too and just say, right, yeah. What are you going to do now, kid? What are you going to do now, kid? Huh?
Well, and I'll tell you, one of the guys that I've known him for a long time, but I've gotten to know him better through the tapings is Trevor Murdoch.
Sure, yeah.
And Trevor trained with Harley. That's where he learned everything, and he does a spot-on Harley race impression.
Because, oh, does he?
Oh my gosh, it's perfect because he was one of Harley's trainers. He was there the whole time.
Yeah, I get you. I can't really do an impression of my trainers because they just sound like us anyway. You know, it's just we sound like them. So, what about? I'll tell you what. Let's go back. Like I said, obviously this is the big deal for you, and I mean this is where I learned of Tim Storm. Okay, October 21st, 2016. You defeat Jack Stain in Texas at 51 years young, I might add. Yeah. At 51 years young, you become the NWA World's Heavyweight Champion. Now, when I'm watching this, I'm going, Jesus, who's this guy? I'm going to check him out, you know? Right. Because I obviously know, you know, I'd been away from the NWA title for a while, especially during the whole TNA debacle and all that kind of stuff. So I go back and I check this stuff out and I start watching your work and I'm going, holy shit, this motherfucker is the real deal. What's going on here? So this, you know, take me back to how you feel when you win the NWA world. You basically get to hold the title that your idol holds that you've just been speaking of.
And not just Harley Race, but I was a huge Dusty Rhodes fan.
Sure.
Terry Funk. I mean,
the Funks, Dory Funk Jr. Yep.
I reached a dream that I didn't even know I had, if that makes any sense. On that night, it was as real of an emotion as I could possibly feel.
Yeah.
It was, okay, Jack Stain and I had wrestled, I don't know, a dozen times, and he's a monster. I don't know if you're aware of Jack, but he's a little taller than I am, 300 pounds, former college basketball player who then started wrestling and went into powerlifting. And we, every time we get in the ring together, we beat the snot out of each other. Some of the most brutal matches I've ever been in were with him, physical wise, because I'm very physical. He matches that physicality. On that night, it was against him in my home promotion. He came to my home promotion with one of my best friends, probably my most frequent travel partner. James Beard was the referee.
James Beard, yeah. So we know James Beard, yeah.
And James is, I mean, he's become one of my best friends, and we travel. I travel more with him than I do anybody else.
Yeah, James Beard is going to be on the show soon, actually. Yep.
I tell you, you can't go wrong with James. He's don't get me putting James over, because I will. James is the only referee in history to referee for every major promotion in Japan and America. When you get him on your show, tell him I told you to ask him about writing the book on wrestling in Japan. Because he legitimately does, okay? And I will start like when James. Oh man, you're getting me started because we spend time together. We never get bored. We never run out of things to talk about.
Dude, this is your show. You can say whatever you want.
Yeah, he's a great person. He's a great referee, and he has a wealth of knowledge on the wrestling. But you literally ask him because he won't tell anybody. He's one of the most humble people. He legitimately wrote the book on wrestling in Japan. So everything that they learn even today is because James Beard wrote it out in English and then they translated it in Japanese and he showed them what that was in the dojos. Okay. On that given night, it was, I'm not going to say I reached a dream because I never dreamed that high, to be honest with you. And I was told later on that, you know, that a lot of people kind of looked at that as a pat on the back. hey, thanks for everything you've done for wrestling and for the NWA. You're probably, you know, you probably don't have a lot of time left, so we want, you know, want to get this run. Probably wasn't going to last a long time, but I knew at that moment they couldn't take my name off that list, right? And it's that whole thing that I did in California, that was a complete shoot. That was my mountaintop. I don't know, nothing can top it. You know, if I won it again, I would have to compare. Now, I don't think that's going to ever happen. I'm 55 now, about to be 56 in less than a month. Don't think that's going to happen, but that was the, without a doubt, the highlight of my, you never know, it's wrestling, right? But I don't know. The highlight of my wrestling career. It was a moment that was, it was true emotion, because I knew nothing was ever going to top that. It was as real as it gets.
So you motherfucker, you're going to tell me that a 60-year-old Ricky Morton can have a championship title match and become a tag team champion again, and you can't get it again? Are you kidding me?
Well, you know the deal, right? You know that the very first episode of NWA Power, the deal was I could get one more shot, but if I lost, I would never get another shot.
Hey, everybody knows that those rules can be broken. Don't worry about that.
In wrestling, you never say never, right?
That's right. They hope that you forget about 4 weeks later. Ah, they'll forget. Don't worry about it. But now you've got the internet.
So, you know who's not forgetting is Nick Aldis. So he reminds me that in every promo. You don't get another shot at this.
Yeah,
so.
He's a very strategic guy. But no, I believe you'll have an... Listen, dude. Forget about having another run. You've got a run right now. Like, the most amazing thing was, and like I say, anybody that enjoys NWA Power now and doesn't know what we're talking about, go back on YouTube and watch the 10 Pounds of Gold series. This was basically when Billy Corgan took over the organization and when the NWA started to become the NWA again. And I mean that with no disrespect to the likes of Dave Marquez and stuff that, you know, kept the flame lighting as much as possible. But even he would agree that that is essentially what kind of brought the organization back. And obviously now we're two pay-per-views down and we're on to the next pay-per-view where we're going into a bigger setting. Again, which is the natural progression, you know? Because you had idiots like me calling out going, ah, you should be doing the pay-per-views even in like in a 1,000-seat arena. It doesn't have to be huge, but just as...
Right.
But I love the vision. I love the vision. And there's a place for you here now because you are Mama Storm's baby boy.
Yes, I am.
You know,
well,
you ain't going nowhere.
It's been so much fun to be a part of. You know, when they approached me about the first couple of 10 Pounds of Gold episodes as an old school wrestler, and that's what I am.
You are.
There was a lot of trust that I put into them in order to allow that to happen. You know, as an old school wrestler, you didn't ever let anybody see behind the curtain, right? You don't ever show your family. You know, you don't show them. If you're not a full-time wrestler, you don't show them that, right?
Because sure.
That's what you put out there. You want everybody to believe that you are showing up in a limo dressed, you know, that. So when Billy and Dave started talking to me about this 10 Pounds of Gold, and they had done a one-off with Drew McIntyre that was kind of like the test run for that. And I went and watched it, and it was fantastic. And so I started watching that, and I go, okay, they're really good at what they do. And what their pitch was, hey, listen, we believe you have a good story, but we want it to be your story. And once we build up that acceptance and that trust, I trusted them, they trusted me, I didn't know what to expect. And the first episode blew me away, you know, as far as how they did it, how it was edited, everything about it. I think the first episode got pretty decent reviews, like, and I mean that from a personal note. A lot of people were caught up on my age, right, on how old I was at the time. But by the second or third episode, that was all gone, and people were just, I think, appreciating the story. And so much of that is just in how it's presented. Yeah, it's the 10 pounds of gold was, I remember reading a comment one time that said, yeah, this guy is, he'll be irrelevant in a month. And I didn't know if I would be or not, right? I had no clue. But it's a little funny to me now that we're, what, 3 years down the road, 4 years down the road, and it can, because of what they're doing with power, it's continuing to grow. How great is that? You know, how many guys get a good run at 55? I'm just saying, that doesn't happen to many guys.
It's awesome. Like, dude, you're 5 years off 60. You know what I mean? It's incredible. Yeah. I mean, like I said, the NWA power, there is a lot of old school guys out there. I've talked to them, you know, guys that have worked in WCW, guys that have worked, you know, in NWA, that are very critical of it too. I can see why they're critical at certain points, you know what I mean?
Right.
There's certain guys like Jim Cornette, like, you know, I won't mention names. You understand what I mean. But I won't mention names. I don't want to throw anyone under the bus because it's their opinion and they're entitled to it, you know?
Right.
But I think it's wrestling is such a strange thing now that if you watch WWE or you watch AEW, that you basically, you have so much choice now of what to watch. And a lot of the indie stuff is very comedic and comical wrestling.
Right.
So I understand a lot of these guys, but where I think NWA fits in is that it's got literally something for everybody, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you're giving me a tour of the house there, Nick. I like that. That's a nice sitting room. I like that.
You like that? Oh, did I? This is the TV room. So this is.
Show me. Oh, hell yeah. This is like what this? The 10 pounds of gold gets you. You see that right there, guys? All you guys listening to this on audio now would love to see what I've just seen. I've just got a first peek at the 10 pounds of gold room.
I have a lot of stuff from 25 years of wrestling.
I love
it. It's all boiled down to that shelf. that's what I...
Yeah, yeah.
That's
where I'm at. 100%. But I guess...
Oops. I'm still here, by the way.
No, it's okay, dude. It's okay. So I guess kind of in wrapping up and letting you get back to your day, what's left? What's next?
I'm trying to get back to you and I can't figure out how to do it, you know. So there it is. I'm riding this for all it's worth, right? In the long term, as far as wrestling itself, I don't plan on ever retiring from wrestling.
Good.
Because I think that's, and it's okay. And as things start to evolve and change, right? What has happened with the NWA is fantastic. But I may not be in the ring in the future. Who knows how long, right? 2-3 years from now, I may not be in. Maybe I shouldn't be in the ring anymore. But I always want to be involved with wrestling, and my passion has been the NWA. So I want to be involved in some way with the NWA. And you know, about 10 years ago, I made a commitment to myself and my friends that I'm going to do whatever I can to try to make, and this is under the old, you know, regime of the NWA. Sure. I want to make whatever I can do to bring the NWA back to some prestige, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I sit right now. You know, if I can make some impact to continue to help it grow and get, I mean, I think we're so far ahead of the expectations that, you know, that were set. So I think we're in good shape. We got more to go. But the good part about that is it's unlimited. The sky's, you know, there's no limit to what we can do.
No.
You know, a lot of people kind of giggled when Billy said, I have a 20-year plan. Well, you know, I think we're ahead of that. But he wasn't wrong, right? I mean, his plan was laid out over long term. And kind of what Dave and Billy have said is we want to promise low and always exceed expectations.
Sure.
And, you know, what I see right now is like your comment was it offers something for everybody. It's definitely got an old school vibe. And like you said, it's got the Rock and Roll Express. It's got a lot of those legends. But On the other hand, you brought up Ricky Starks and Caleb Konley and a lot of young guys.
Who Aaron Stephens. I mean, Aaron Stephens is your comedic value. When he comes out and talks about the third degree, you know,
right?
It's just perfect. It's your genius. Comedy.
Yeah, it's genius. He and the question mark are, you know, in our terms, they're money as far as the comedic. But on the other side, and I'm sure you saw it, but you're putting Eli Drake and James Storm together with a mic. It doesn't get any better than that, right?
Yeah.
And Eddie Kingston is magic on the mic.
Yeah.
I don't think Nick Aldis has let anybody down yet, whether he was, you know, whether he was being cheered or booed. You know, I'm not bad on the mic. You look around back there.
You're good on the mic, my friend. You're good on the mic.
That was me trying to get a compliment.
Yeah, I knew you were fishing. I said I'd take the hook.
Yeah. Well, thank you, man. You took it. You bit the bullet for me. But I look around that locker room, and week in, week out, as they add guys, I'm like, oh my gosh. You know, I mean, they brought in the Pope. The guy's gifted. You put a mic in his hand, he's gifted.
For sure.
It just doesn't stop. So, and I know that, you know, with Ricky and a couple of other guys, I'm not going to drop any names because it hadn't been on TV yet, but they brought in some guys that basically are doing more of a modern style. So there's something for everybody. You want the old school style? We got that. You want comedy? We got that. We've got some of the best women's wrestlers in the business today.
The best.
Yeah. And the whole program is just, I watch it just like everybody else. Like, I don't see it ahead of time. I watch it and surprises. And I mean, man, anybody out there, if you haven't checked out the new NWA Power, you know, like you said, the pay-per-views are still available on Fight TV. Give it a shot, because I've yet to find anybody that's disappointed.
Yeah, 100%. And tell people where they can find Tim Storm and Mama Storm merchandise.
The best way to do it is to go to our NWA, National Wrestling Alliance, .com, and we've got all the merch stores, all that kind of stuff. And you know, I'm gonna promote them selling it instead of myself selling it. I'm a team player, and they're just, man, I won't even give you the details. They are such a class act as far as an organization.
See, guys, this is what you get when you get Tim Storm on your roster. You get the nicest guy on the planet, a team player, not one of those little snaky snakes. It's
it's either that or I'm so disorganized in sales myself that I just rather them do it. It's a little bit of everything.
I love it.
It's so well done. The product is fantastic. It's organized the way that top notch all the way through. And you can find a little bit of everything on there. Almost anybody on there, everybody on the roster has got something represented.
100%. 100%. Guys, go get yourself a Mama Storm's baby boy. You got to do it. Man. You got to do it.
There is no greater joy in the world than to hear your 95-year-old mom refer to herself as Mama Storm.
Does she do it, yeah?
She doesn't understand, and my mom is sharp, by the way. She's still very healthy for 95.
Sure, yeah.
She doesn't understand the depth of what we're talking about. Because I've been wrestling for a long time, right? So to her, I can't tell her, hey, mom, 500,000 people watched that episode, because that means nothing to her, right? But she doesn't understand how many people know who Mama Storm is. So it's kind of cute when she says, well, you know, I am Mama Storm, you know.
Have you showed her you actually saying that on live TV?
I showed her the Mama Storm promo, and what I was really trying to get her to see was the people chanting Mama Storm.
Yeah.
Right? Because I thought she'd get a kick out of that. But along the same lines, I really, everything I say is 99% true. And what I mean is, she has one thought. When are you going to stop doing this wrestling thing? Because you're going to get hurt. And I don't want you to get hurt. So most of the time, I don't tell her ahead of time that I'm going for, you know, pay-per-view or TV tapings. I'll tell her when I'm there. But it works out better if I tell her afterwards, when she'll say, but you didn't get hurt, did you? You know, so I played her that. I played her the people chant Mom Storm, and she'll joke and say, well, I'm famous, aren't I? You know, yes, ma'am, you are. You're famous.
So case in point, you are Mama Storm's baby boy. You know, it's true. Yeah.
100%.
I love it. I love it.
If you, for the most part, if you hear me say it, it's real life and it's exactly the way it happens. And, you know, that's me. I saw something that I've kind of been using. It said, be open, be raw, be real, because there's too many fake people out there. So, you know, I'm not going to say that I won't go a different direction at some point, but pretty much what you hear, that's real life.
I love it. Let's finish on this one, my friend. And let's keep it real.
Okay.
Give all the NWA fans, because we have some NWA fans on this show. What would be your message to that scoundrel, Nick Aldis?
Okay, when I said the comment about the lion, I'm saving that for him. So beware of the people who brag and tell you how great they are. Because a lion doesn't have to tell you that it's a lion. A lion is just a lion. Nick is a fantastic champion, but he's kind of got into a habit of kind of running away from conflict. He surrounded himself with equal scoundrels, all just as talented, all just as mean and tough. But eventually it's going to catch up with him. Eventually I'm going to catch up with him. I'm not going to say, I don't have a clue if I'll ever get another shot at that title. I will get another shot at Nick Aldis.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. So listen, my friend, it's been a privilege. It's been an honor, in fact. I really do thank you from the bottom of my heart for coming onto the show and basically kind of sharing your career and also your future with us and kind of your in-depth stuff. And it's really been a privilege. I'm certainly going to be watching you all the way. I guess we're going to keep in touch from here on now.
Absolutely.
And I'll be 100% behind you.
Thank you, man.
And,
I look at this as a team effort, and I mean this. We're all a part of this industry in some regard. We're all fans to a certain extent. And, you know, this conversation that we're having, it's mutually beneficial, right? I mean, you're helping me. I'm helping you. Hopefully we're helping the fans find something new that they hadn't found.
100%.
We're all in this together.
Yeah.
You know, my new thing coming out, I started on the pay-per-view, and I mean it again. I mean it with all my heart, is we have become an NWA family. And the great thing is, it's not just the people in the studio. I mean, look, you're a great example. You're in Ireland. I've heard from people in Germany. I've heard, you name it, and I have heard from people. It's a love for the NWA, and it's a passion and excitement and a love. To be honest with you, 5 years ago, I felt like it was myself, James Beard, and a handful of other guys holding that torch, trying to keep it alive. But when I hear the fans and I see the results and I see the comments and the social media, it's a family. It's a worldwide family of people who have the same passion and excitement. That makes my heart happy. We are an NWA family. So thank you for being a part of that, and thank you for including me.
Thank you, sir. Are you a fan of wrestling merch? Do you like to wear the latest WWE and UFC shirts? Well, if you're in Ireland, there's only one place to go for all of your wrestling and MMA needs. Wrestling Mania. That's right, Wrestling Mania, located on the top floor of St. Stephen's Green Shopping Centre in the heart of Dublin's first city, is the only place you need to go. Wrestling Mania has everything you need, from t-shirts, hoodies, hats, wristbands, mugs, pendants, and everything in between. And if you're like me, a fan of wrestling history and memorabilia, then you never know what you may find. From action figures, huge back catalogs of books, magazines, DVDs, and all kinds of retro items. Shop for brands like WWE, Tap Out, UFC, Ring of Honor, AEW, and much, much more. And much more than that, Wrestling Mania is a family-run business and Ireland's oldest wrestling shop that has seen superstars such as Bret the Hitman Hart, Chris Jericho, Finn Balor, Becky Lynch, Dana White, and many, many more pass through its doors. So why not get down to WrestleMania today? You never, ever know what you may find. But get this. If you need a purchase coming up to the holiday season and can't make it to the store, don't worry. They've got you covered. WrestleMania will deliver directly to your doorstep. And if you can make it to the store today, WrestleMania will give you 20% off all purchases over 50 euro. That's right. For listening to Dynamo's Dozen, you get 20% off all purchases over 50 euro. What do I have to do, you say? Well, let me tell you something, Daddy. All you need to do is join the mailing list. Leave your name at dynamosdozen@gmail.com. Send me an email with your name. Hashtag wrestling store, hashtag dynamosdozen. That is it. And you get 20% off all purchases over 50 euro. For more information, once again, go to dynamosdozen@gmail.com to be on the mailing list, or go to WrestleMania Facebook page on the latest news and arrivals. Get down to WrestleMania today.